Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. It's live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to look at the market news, but also I saw some troubling information here. Healthcare premiums skyrocketing for people already in retirement. What do you do? How do you make your adjustments? You're already on a fixed income. You can't pull new money from somewhere. What kind of advice would Gregory Ricks give a client in the same situation? We'll find out. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can stop by and say hi on the Periscope app, maybe pump some hearts, leave a question there. You can also be a part of our Facebook group, and it's there's two groups. The Winning at Life page that we let everyone join, you can just hit like and it'll send messages to everyone. But we kind of wanted to call out the rest of the happenstance crowd, you know, the walkers by. And if you want to have a further financial discussion or be a part of a little more in-depth interaction with the show, join the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. It's just getting out of its infancy. And once we whittle it down and we have less of a crowd to wade through, if you have a question and you plop it up there, maybe we can talk Gregory Ricks and coming in there and actually giving an answer on Facebook outside of the show. Like, you already don't have enough jobs, because this is a full-time job, 6 days a week. You already have the full-time job, not only as a financial advisor, but also running the small business. Can we get a few more minutes out of you every week to answer some questions?
Absolutely. People already think I never stop, and I don't.
Well, this is a good part about having a job that's not labor-intensive. Right? I'm never tired.
Yeah, well, the brain gets tired, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but that's tired of working, not the same as physically I can't pick up any more bricks, slap mortar on this wall, and lay another brick on top of it.
Does a bricklayer work to like he's 70, 80 years old? I'd find that hard.
Man, no kidding.
So the mind stays there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Well, anyway, that's the great part about our job. We're just making Gregory work a little harder. Take advantage of it while before he changes his mind, because he may. Also, if you go to the Winning at Life VIP page for today, I put up a video of the interview we did with John Georges on Tuesday. The Louisiana business mogul. Heck, he's international. I mean, do you know what like his fundamental business is? It's hard to spell out now because he's involved in so many different things. But the company he took over from his dad that he grew into $1 billion a year revenue grabber, it was Imperial Trading. I think it's just called George's Enterprises now. But he stocks grocery stores, stocks convenience stores. And he got to the point where he was importing the stuff himself, and then he has the distribution network. And that's basically it.
I like a couple of his more recent acquisitions in recent history. One, I'm proud of what he has done with the newspaper, The Advocate. I like getting it daily, you know, print the website. That's pretty cool.
One of the few newspapers that's actually growing in the United States. There's really literally only like seven newspapers.
And he mentioned he's acquired, another one or two papers?
Oh, did he say? Did I miss that?
Yeah, there was something else that he acquired. But the other cool thing is buying a piece of history, Galatoire's.
Oh, I forgot about that. He did,
yeah,
didn't
we
he?
We didn't even bring that up with him the other night. We could have talked to him the whole hour, but I think that's super cool.
Well, look, I don't mean to take any guesses here, but I think that's more of a philanthropic effort. I think he is doing that because, listen, if Galatoire's was making money hand over fist, it wouldn't have been sold. I think it's it's tough down there.
Yeah, it's tough down there, but restaurants change hands. Family doesn't want to continue, or it's too much. Kids like, I'm not managing no kitchen
right. Well,
for the next 30 years.
And the management does seem to have a drop-off so often from generation to generation. We saw it happen with the one Brennan's restaurant that was over, the one on Royal, the pink one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wrong guys ran that, so Ralphie Brennan went and picked it up. But it's not a given if you have not only a restaurant, but a restaurant with a history and a name and great food and all the storyline behind it. That doesn't mean you're going to win. So I hope John Georges is making money off that, but that wasn't a guarantee when he picked it up. I think he was doing that to help the city.
Didn't get to ask him that, but I'd say, you know what, probably making money too. Maybe not the same margins maybe as others, but really – that's a cool thing.
All right, so the video.
He always has a table ready there.
Yeah, I have
to. A place it's not easy to get into.
We would have to wait in line like chumps for an hour on Friday if we wanted to get in.
Exactly.
But if you want to see the entirety of that interview, actually, I cut out a couple of the little frivolous questions that won't stand the test of time. So it's down to 13 minutes. That video, it's on the Winning It Life VIP page if you're already on Facebook. Or if you want to take a shortcut, go to GregoryRicks.com and look under the blog section. Top story, as far as I'm concerned here, this isn't the top story that they're reporting on the TV and whatnot, but the one that grabbed my attention the most, fourth quarter GDP for 2016 was actually revised up to 2.1%. So that's not too bad there. I'm pretty happy about that. That does bode well.
Okay. Now, I was looking at something that I bought the other day that was up 3.27% today, but we'll come back to that in a bit.
Yes, we will.
What were you talking about? The GDP was revised up?
The fourth quarter 2016 was revised up to 2.1%.
Whoa. Okay.
I mean, I know that's not gangbusters, but having an upward revision, that kind of counts as upward momentum.
Well, for years we were having the downward every time. They'd give us a number and you'd like, you know that's not it.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? That has been a streak that was broken. The interesting part, though, is now the predictions are about to start in earnest because tomorrow is the last day of the first quarter of 2017. And what was the only prediction I've seen on this? I think the Atlanta Fed said 1.8%. Isn't that what they said? Somewhere around there. But
When does that news come out? I hadn't looked it up.
Oh, first
quarter. GDP.
I think we have a good 2 weeks before that comes out.
I'd have to say it's going to be over 2.
Okay.
2.2.
Oh, is that your guess?
At the moment, as of today, that's my guess.
God, that'd be fantastic news. That means it would go from, you know, maybe 2.1 is the right number for fourth quarter of 2016. But that would mean that growth was happening even though Trump did nothing. It just the optimism and the specter.
That is a lot to do with it. It's the mindset of everybody. All of a sudden, companies coming in and say, we're going to hire people. We're going to bring in money. You had some, you know, Ed Ford saying they're going to spend a whole bunch. There was some cable company the other day sitting down with Trump. They're spending a whole bunch of money. It's just, oh, we're going and foreign manufacturers, we're going to come here and make this. But it's also the mindset. People are feeling comfortable. Is everything where we want it? You know, it's health care and the taxes. There's a lot of work to be done. But when you have the mindset that, yes, we can win.
I'm surprised some of that optimism hasn't turned around yet. You know, when you see the failure of the healthcare reform push, you know, I'm surprised more people aren't out there saying, well, if you couldn't get this passed, what makes me think he's going to get this tax reform passed or this corporate tax rate slashed or this deregulation, you know?
Well, the big news yesterday is that they're still working on it. We're not letting this die. And it's kind of like, guys, you know, there was a lot of tax cuts tied into this. We need to get something done. It's like, and then those guys were kind of portrayed as, what were you, asleep at the wheel, not knowing this? You're just against it to be against it? There's a lot more to this.
Debt ceiling deal is starting to I mean, you can see the finish line on that one. Technically, we've already reached our debt limit, but we're taking money from other pools of assets.
Raiding the vaults of other departments.
Exactly. It's just to kind of rope it open, make it last a little longer. Because, hey, it's not the last minute yet. Why deal with it? This is like Parker and Christmas shopping, except this is far more important.
Yeah. When you've done that on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
In the evening, it's like, God, there's a lot of different people out tonight. You start looming out. Do I look like
that? Yeah, I'm one of the losers, apparently. Oh, it's a very sobering moment, sure. And you go to the counter and you're like, please don't let everyone have bought Connect 4.
No, and then they say, I'm sorry, it's all gone. All the gift sets are gone.
We just
have these overpriced versions left.
Yeah, why don't they do that? Why aren't they in the markup on December 23rd and
24th? Oh, it'd be like the last airline seats right before it takes off. Oh, they're expensive. Yeah,
$1,000.
This bottle of perfume, it just doubled in price a day. I don't know what happened.
Oh, also with the revision here for the fourth quarter GDP, we saw some revisions of the previous quarters, and they both got a little bit of a bump, too. So a little more optimism in hindsight, which means, hey, maybe we're a little hard on that Barack Obama guy. He almost got to 3% one year for his presidency. That doesn't sound very complimentary at all.
Imagine if he had sat down with business leaders and brought in Fortune 500 and talk to them. But hey, tell me, what can we do to help you grow? Let's fix this.
Yeah, that was an interesting point that was brought up on Winning at Life a few months ago when the carrier announced, well, we talked to Trump and looks like we're not going to open that plant in Mexico. We're going to build some of those here and we're going to expand one of the plants we already have. And they're like, well, what did he tell you that Barack Obama didn't? What kind of offer? What deal did he give you? And they're like, we didn't talk to Obama. He didn't call us. That was it. That just the attempt, just the friendly nature of businessmen. But I mean, I think some of this may be a little misplaced. He's not going to get all this stuff done. He's not going to get all those tax cuts. What was the main driver in opposition from the political opposition party, from the Democrats, on the health care reform plan? Was that it was a tax cut for
one of them
rich
today?
People.
I heard, you know, he said, you know, we've got to cover everyone. So that was my problem. Jeez, I'm socialism. I don't know that we can, but we're sure going to work. Did Obama cover everyone? I had a client die last year of cancer, and I know he wasn't covered.
Right. There's still at least 20 million people who don't have insurance coverage. And look, that was known when it was passed. And the last CBO score before the Obamacare bill was voted on and passed, they said in 10 years, we're going to have 30 million uninsured. In fact, the uninsured rolls would go down, and then after about 5 or 6 years, it would start to go up again.
If you're letting young people off the hook, not taxing or requiring them, yeah, that could probably hit your number. I don't know, between, 20 and 30 years of age?
No, that was with the requirement in there. I was talking about the one that passed in 2010. They said once the fine is lower than the premiums, you know, spread out over 12 months.
It's over.
It's a drop-off, right. Yeah. All right, 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull. It can buy me a Yeti 110. Silver bullets. Yeah, I know what they say. Money
can't buy everything.
Maybe so.
But it can buy me a boat. I don't want no boat. I was looking at a magazine today. There's a trailer in it. Aluminum trailer. Kind of really sets real low where you can drive up a car on it.
Yes.
In case you're needing to pull a car somewhere, I might have that need one day. Who knows? But it was pretty cool. $1 billion could buy me that trailer to load that car. Boat's like too much work. Car, you know, I don't have to like wheel it off, got it, wheel it crank. It's
go ahead.
Waves are moving.
You're
me.
Dying to do it. Talk about your car. Talk about it.
No, I'm not going to.
You're glowing like a kid with a Christmas present.
But I was just thinking about that. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That is James Parker stirring the pot on the other side. One of my favorite songs. But a boat just seems like a lot of work. But I guess to the bass fisherman, the angler, maybe it's not. It's just like he's just so wanting to get in that water and throw that line out there that is nothing. I see a lot of work to get out there to throw that line.
And they got fish at the store.
They do, and I buy it there. And it tastes good.
Oh, you know what ticks me off is when
I
go fishing.
I have to clean it.
Right. Well, I clean it doesn't bother me. But I hate catching fish you can't eat. Because I don't know a whole lot about fish, and especially the variety of fish down here, because I grew up inland. Y'all got fish with teeth down here. I don't know what's going on. But I've gone out fishing the few times I've gone since I moved down here. I catch something. Is this any good? No, you can't eat that. It's, oh, come on. It's the whole point. Hey, speaking of inland, I'm originally from Texas. And I don't know if we've ever gone down this list, but my maternal grandmother was a teacher. And she actually taught at the same school where I went, same school district. I had her in seventh grade. My sister is a teacher. My mom's youngest sister is a teacher. My dad's only sister is a teacher. So when I see a report that retired Texas teachers are having their health insurance premiums double for most of them, some of them are having them triple.
And this is through the state?
The state has it. Yeah, its own system.
So they're receiving a pension. Do they get Social Security as well in Texas?
I think they get Social Security, but not Medicare. I'm not sure on that one. But since 1985, the state has provided health care for retired teachers through their this plan called the TRS Care. So,
and Teachers Retirement System Care.
Exactly. 261,000 retired teachers, dependents, and surviving spouses are on the system right now.
So the system can't absorb it anymore.
Well, recent years, yeah, they crossed the curve where the costs that they pay out are higher than what the state's actually contributing to TRS care. They ignored it for a while, so now that it's $1 billion shortfall, they're going to have to do something about it. So they're jacking up the rates. So when you find out some of these people who on fixed incomes are going to have from $450 a month just a few years ago to $1,800 a month next year.
That's more than double.
Oh, yeah. That's almost quadruple. That's more than
that's
triple.
That's what I was thinking.
But look, it's just going to double from last year to this year. But if you want to take that back 10 years, a lot of these are triple.
Jeez them.
And in preparation.
So their retirement, the state retirement pension, doesn't go up every year like health insurance?
I don't know if it addresses
you know,
that in the
Social
article.
Social Security, you know, you have this Medicare increase, and then coincidentally, Social Security goes up by that much. So it's always kind of wash. You never really make more money. But these people are getting slammed, and it's by health care. Are we getting a type of health care that it can roll back 5 years' prices?
Oh, like will it ever be less next year than it was this year?
No matter what they say, you know, can we get lower premiums? If you do a HSA and have a high deductible and we shove everybody into that and give them more incentives to save pre-tax, which also takes money off the tax rolls, you might show up and say, yeah, we've cut premiums. But tell me, you really going to roll it back? I was driving back to the office today. Stacy was, and she saw this building on Causeway there in Metairie.
Stacy, your wife.
Stacy is my wife. And I can't remember, but it's this new big medical building. And I said, you know, and she's like, is that what I'm seeing? That's new. I said, yeah, it's not been there very long. I said, that's my complaint. Is you can't find a building, you can't buy commercial property because something to do with medicine is acquiring it, and they don't care about the price. Okay, we got healthcare out of control, doctors complain about their reimbursements, but somebody's making money hand over fist because they can afford to build that building, staff it, put medical equipment in it, and charge people for coming into that building for whatever's going to go on there. They have to be pretty confident they're making a boatload of money in doing it. So, but I'm telling you, we're not going to get a rollback. So where does this go? How do they absorb that? Is what I'm seeing written on your forehead. How do they absorb going from 450 in 5 years to 1,800?
Because what this means is, I don't know what her pension is. This may be bigger than her pension, but let's just say it's a close. Because what's a regular pension check?
Yeah.
$2,000 a month? So you're basically, your entire working career wasn't...
Well, Social Security, say she's getting $1,500. Okay, now she's getting $3,500 a month.
That's not enough to live on. You're basically...
She's getting $42,000 a year, and Social Security's taken up... I'm sorry, health insurance is taking up half of it?
Probably more than that. Probably more than that. There's got to be some people where this is more than their
monthly
pension.
Well, let's throw something else in the mix. In Fox Business today, they reported a survey showed 41% of boomers have nothing saved for retirement. So they've got Social Security. Maybe some of them got a pension, but outside of that, they hadn't saved anything. Not unusual when you have those two checks coming in for there not to be anything. So what is their fallback? There isn't any. Now, if they have assets, it's a different story, but not a pretty one. But it's ugly when you don't have other assets, and all of a sudden you've had this increase, which you never looked at it this way. No matter what you're doing from a planning standpoint, it didn't go this way. So what do you give up? Netflix? Cable? Dinner out at the Chinese buffet? It's out now.
You got to sell one of those cars. Maybe
no more trips to the casino.
Maybe if your other car is nice, you can sell that one too and
honey,
get a beater.
That 64.5 Mustang coupe's got to go.
Yeah, and we're gonna.
I know you polish it every weekend, take it out to a show once a year, but you know what? We need that money.
So, okay, it's obvious if you have no wiggle room, if you have no cushion, if you have no assets, all you have to do your only option is to cut lifestyle. Maybe move in with your kids if you have to. But
what reverse mortgage?
There you go. That helps. What if you have assets, though? Just take more from the pile and accelerate a spin down?
Yeah, it could be to where the numbers worked and you created that lifestyle at retirement, but say you're 5 years in or 10 years in. And you've been hitting it a little harder. You know, there's a client I've got to have a conversation with next week. Kind of hitting a little hard. He's going to come in. He's okay right now, but we just want to just have that conversation, let him know how this could affect things in the future if this continues. But this is one of those where you could have some. And you know what? You're going to have a conversation with a lot of people that we have a spend down going on, and this is where it's going to end. And that's part of my responsibility is to point those things out. So it's not some surprise, but the spending has an end date. I know where it's at. Problem is, it's going to accelerate. We hadn't even had hyperinflation yet. We know that's coming in the next somewhere between now and, say, 30 years from now.
You make the best plans in the world, and then the second you're done, the second the ink's dry,
it changes.
Yeah, life happens.
That's exactly, and I tell everybody that. Is this plan flexible? Yeah, because life happens. And I always talk about that curve, the bell curve. Even in retirement savings, is your full intent would be leave everything intact for the kids. But it probably isn't going to happen. At least you're going to leave something behind. No promises, but it's going to turn into a spend down.
It's got to be an awful feeling, though, because at some point in your life, you worked and you saved all this money and you went to a financial advisor and you got your plan laid out and you're like, oh, I can retire. I can maintain my lifestyle. This is going to happen. I did save enough and I sacrificed enough that the retirement's going to work out for me. And then 5 years later, it's not working out.
You know what's what I talked about the other night, why you need to build in a cushion. You need the assets to be larger 10 years and 15 years from now, because at some point it's going to turn the other way. You know, when we talked about, you know, that 20 times your income plus another 25% for cushion. We need a cushion because, boom, health insurance has gone up. Or if they get that under control, and I'm not sure there's a leadership council that could figure it out, or president or board, It's just going to get out of control.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or send us a text via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at life. We're on the break talking about Lululemon. We're going to give you that stock update in a moment. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. That's James Parker. If you have a financial situation you're wanting to know about Lululemon or Nike or Under Armour, why they're down today.
Nike. He said Nike. That's the Greek god of something or other.
Okay, that works then. 504-260-0995. If you want to correct me also, have at it. James does.
It's a hobby. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to turn his mic off shortly. Financial situation, you know, it's just, we were having a portfolio review, and how a portfolio review works is somebody's been through the process. They came into the office for a meeting. May have came in for a second visit, but sometime towards the end of that first visit or beyond, they chose to become a client. So what happens next is a portfolio review. So when you choose to become a client, we make that happen. Paperwork gets done, and assets can move from your new ex firm to our firm. And we will call that, there's an acronym for that, an ACAT. Don't ask me what it means, but we just call it ACAT. There's something for all those letters, but it just means the assets are going to come over in kind by signed request over to our firm. It's like magic. Paperwork sent off, and your money shows up at our firm somewhere around a few days later.
Clear up the term in kind.
In kind, I can clear that up for you, meaning if you have A-share mutual funds, C-share mutual funds, a few stocks, an ETF, it all comes over. It will come over to us as it sat at your old firm. The only reason it might not, they had some security that only that firm could handle, then it's getting sold and the cash comes over. Oh, and cash comes over in kind, because when it's cash there, it's cash here. So the next thing, once the assets move over and show up at Fidelity, then we set up a portfolio meeting. And we had one of those yesterday, and we put up on the big screen, each of our conference rooms has 60-inch screens, so you can clearly see what your accounts look like, how much you're up, how much you're down. We'll pull up charts, have a discussion about that. But you could see on this client's, on the screen, they had a, on several of their accounts, they had that, like, this block of American funds, A-share, no, didn't have A-share, they had C-share funds. And basically, their expense ratio is about 1.5% a year. And they were not happy about that, because he said, you mean starting out the gate before they charge me anything else, I'm paying 1.5% expense ratio. I said, yeah. Because one of the things he had brought up was, what if I just bought, you know, an index 500 mutual fund, could I do for less? I said, yeah, you could do Vanguard, maybe get, you know, 0.75% or less, maybe 0.5%. So ETF could be 0.25%. A lot of stuff you're missing from the guidance and the technicals and all that we use to pick out which way everything's going to move. But that was important about that, is like, which way does this go? And the whole thing about that portfolio meeting is to shed those A-share, B-share, and C-share mutual funds. Have we sold them all yet? No, we're going to do it appropriately. He's already paying, so it's not just a wholesale change, but overall. And then there's some oil stuff in there. Some of that stuff was pretty ugly. So I showed him some charts, some technicals of how we look at that. And there's a couple of them going good. There's a couple of them that he thought was going good, and it's not. It's turning further south on him. And he said, oh, we got to get rid of that. And she says, well, when are you going to let us know what you're going to do? I said, well, we're actually clearing all that up in this meeting, because when you leave here, we're going to have a plan going forward, and we're going to sell what we need to, buy what we need to with it, stay the course with what we need to, and as market cycles, we're going to transition away from all this old stuff over time.
I'm just digesting all this.
Oh, I know it's a lot. But with that said, if you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, maybe you don't want that much information, but you need some help, 504-260-0995. Email Gregory at gregoryricks.com, gregoryricks.com is site chat. And one of the magic things you can use is the Gregory Ricks and Associates app to text us.
All right, now I want to jump into the numbers because I want to hear about the stock that you were talking about that's up 3-something percent today. But real quick, just to clear something up, I did a quick Google search. Nike is the ancient Greek goddess that personified victory. Her Roman equivalent was Victoria, the root word of our English victory. So Nike said, what's the oldest form of the word victory that we have in Western civilization? And that's it. Okay, so the numbers. Can we do the stock that's 3% first, or you want to? All right, fine. All three of our indices were up. The Dow was up 0.33% today. Not a whole lot of enthusiasm, though. Have you noticed the volume's been super low as of late, Gregory? In fact, one of the reports that I saw, where was that? I believe a volume, not today, but for yesterday's trading, was the lowest of 2017 thus far. Still, 20,728.49 is what the Dow closed at. It's in no big hurry to get back to 21,000. In fact, that looks like a peak that happened. That happened in February, right? And we haven't returned to it since. That could be the peak. It poked its head above 21,000 and said, I think I'm done here. Time to go back down. S&P was up a similar percentage, 0.29%. It's at 2368. NASDAQ was up almost exactly the same amount, 0.29%. It's at 5914. What do you have on the Russell over there?
Give me just a sec to click. Well, wrong click. And scroll, click and scroll. Russell 2000 up 0.78%. Remember the magic number the other day? We had 3 out of 4, same percentage movement. Russell closed at 1,382.35. It was adding on 10.7 points was the change. 10-year treasuries, price change 230 seconds. It's at 2.415 on the yield. Let's see, where does that take us on 30-year mortgages? There we go, 4.13. Week ago, 4.14. So it's just kind of staying in that range of the 4.1. Just a little bit of movement. Next would be crude oil. Moved up some today. Aftermarket, it's down about 0.33%, but it closed at $50.20. We had saw it breach 47 last week, just for a little while, mostly hung around 48. It was kind of in the 48 neighborhood. Gold gave up $2.10. Close was $1,245.90 per precious troy ounce. Lululemon.
Is that what was up or down today? Was that the 3%
gainer? Well, you remember I kind of told the story at Politics with a Punch when I was on the panel a few weeks ago. I don't know. The joke didn't go well, but you know, because we were talking about people being robbed, taken advantage of, and I kind of felt that way. She went in there to get some yoga clothing and was short $700 when she left. So, like, what happened?
Who is she? Stacy?
Stacy, my wife, yeah. So I was feeling some pain there. She wasn't, but I was. Now they're feeling some pain. What's that number? Let's see. Lululemon was off 23.44% today. Yikes.
What?
Gave up $13.35 a share. The close, well, I'm sorry, it gave up $15.54 a share. It closed at $50.76.
Why is this listed on the NASDAQ? This isn't a NASDAQ stock.
Well, here's what's going on. I don't know why their first start of their first quarter of this year is slow, but based on what she was doing, they should be up. All I hear is it's the rage. So are they late getting on the ship or it's sailed? Fourth quarter sales increased 12% year over year as comparable. Heck, I can tell you, I didn't know there was a Lulu store until the Christmas holidays, by the way. Never had heard of it.
Now you're well aware, aren't
you? Oh, very aware. As comparable, store sales were up 8%, the slightly slower than 14% growth for the full year. What seems to have spooked the market, I'll tell you when we come back.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
I'd have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Right off them tonight.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the daily wrap.
Let me do this thing where I extend your tease a little longer.
Teach me something.
Yes, because Gregory left us all hanging there. But before we get back to that, our next Gregory Ricks Live event, April 19th. Yeah, just make you wait a little bit longer. And it's a women-only event, so you can wear your Lululemon.
We'll approve yoga that. Pants. Correct size.
Well, I'm not going to be I'm not a fashion police here, Gregory. If they want to wear see-through pants, I'm an open-minded fella. Reserve your seat, though. It's starting to fill up. Go to GregoryRicks.com. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or if you want to do it the old-school way, like this is still the 20th century, you could call. Call the office, 504-832-9200. Okay, now let's pay off on that tease.
Okay.
Wait, what was the tease first?
Is what spooked the market to drop, over 20% today?
A 23% drop in a stock in one day is always a story.
Lululemon management said in the release that it had a slow start to 2017. I'd already let that out the bag a little. With an expected decline in same-store sales in first quarter. Though the company is still guiding a full-year sales growth of around 11 to 13%. Lululemon's not the only one feeling the squeeze. Rival Nike saw its own stock take a beating after recent earnings, including slower sales growth. They got to pick it up online. It's leaving in stores, but picking up online. So once they write those numbers, I think maybe we're seeing some value here. However, one thing should be encouraging for Lululemon investors is that its gross margin grew impressively. Running out of breath there. Impressively in 2016 from 48% to 51%.
That is a ridiculous margin, Gregory.
That is a ridiculous margin. And 3% don't seem a lot, but they're already ridiculous at 48. Nike's own gross margin fell to 44.5, a multi-year low for that giant, which has used discounted pricing to try to clear out excess inventory. Does Lululemon ever have a sale? No, we're not talking about Walmart $10 yoga pants. We're talking about $90 yoga pants. And look, when I went in there shopping for Christmas, I'd never heard of the place, and it's just all yoga. And then the sales clerk, and she is pretty cute, so I would listen.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "This is what our stores are built on. You have to buy one of these." So I left with a couple of them. Boom. $180 plus tax, title, and license and service fees.
Did you get them appraised first? Did you get them inspected?
No, they said they would send me a certificate in the mail. I'm still waiting for that. So I'm kind of thinking this isn't that bad of news because of the margins. You know, we're not talking about you having a discount. I don't see sell signs in that store. I've walked about. I'm not in the mall, you know, it's Lakeside Mall here, and I'm rarely in there, but the one or two times I passed by there, I didn't see no discounting at Lululemon. They sell all they have, down 25%. Maybe it'll go a little lower.
Well,
who knows? Might be an opportunity. But the margin's the deal, dude. $90.
Is yoga a trend, though? And if it is it at peak popularity or is it still growing?
Let me see. Have you walked down the street, walked through the mall? What are all the women wearing? Not all, but most that can wear them. What are they wearing?
Yoga pants.
It's like a whole different world. You and I have talked about this, and we got to keep this clean, James.
I'm a fan of yoga pants. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I am too. It's like, wow.
But these things cycle out. Look, when I was...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think this is cycling out.
When I was in ninth grade, we were all wearing hammer pants, Gregory. When's the last time you saw someone running around with hammer pants on? Parachute pants. You know, women are more fickle about fashion things than men. You got to be careful with these brands. They come, they go.
Yeah, and that's why there's Lululemon, because they don't want the cheap ones now. It's more staying in place. Like, yeah, I don't want those $20 ones. I love these $90 because I'm going to wear these all the time and forever. Look at the margin.
It's a beautiful margin.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I think, and heck. Can you buy them cheaper online? No. If you want Lululemon, you're paying.
You know, one of the things they do teach you in business.
And they'll become a status thing.
Because of that little symbol. It is. One of the things they actually do teach you in business class, as much as we gripe about the things they don't teach you in college, you know, about your IRA or a mortgage or a reverse mortgage or when to turn on Social Security, these things. They do brag on some companies for having such an excellent profit margin. And one of the examples they would always bring up is sodas. You know, you go to, at the time, a soda was 50 cents at the gas station. How do you make money? Can you even ship a bottle of water anywhere in the country for 50 cents? No. But their profit margin is still like 6, 7. Some years it's like 10, maybe even 20%. Lululemon's what, 50%, Gregory?
And 51?
And what's the profit margin on your average insurance company? Auto, life, health, any of them?
Not much.
It's like 1 or 2%.
What about a can of peas, butter beans?
Yeah.
Your niblets corn. Few cents.
They all are around the 3-4% range, and that's what you aim for to be competitive. That's why Coke and Pepsi get such praise. It's like, wow, how can you have that much profit margin with this much marketing expense and this much and all your costs and whatever? Heck, I didn't know Nike's was that high. Good for these guys.
Yeah,
maybe they don't have to sell
that
many shoes.
Back, but you know they're bigger. They sell all kinds of stuff. Have to discount some. Very interesting.
This show is never going to tell you to outright buy or sell a stock, but this smells like a buying opportunity.
Be careful, but it's starting to smell good, even though they're $90 a pair. National Beverage Corp. Did we talk about that?
Did not.
Ticker symbol. You got Google Finance up? I want you to see the chart.
Sure, let me go look.
Go to Google Finance, click on
the ticker.
Yeah, at the bottom, you can put in a ticker symbol.
National Beverage Corp.
Yeah.
What is it?
FIZZ.
Oh, Fizz. That is so brilliant. Very clever, National. But I like you already.
They do this soft drink that's become all the bomb. What is it? LaCroix?
Oh, yeah.
Nicola, it's like not only is Lululemon in, but they're all drinking LaCroix also, these women that are doing the Lulu thing and the yoga and all. What I want you to do is go look at a 5-year chart.
I'm there.
You're gonna be ill.
Whoa! Should have bought that 2 years ago. What happened here?
You should have bought it January 1st, sold everything and bought it at $255 a share. And today, tell them, how much is it worth?
$84.
$84.04, and it closed down 0.3% today. Jeez, Pete. You know, we got to search through thousands of stocks, and when I put this into my charting system, it just crushed everything. It's like, why didn't I stumble across that? That's always the case, but you hate seeing it. It's so ridiculous. You're like, what happened?
Yeah, this is a what happened. What happened this in blows. The last month? In the last month, it's up 30%.
Well, yeah, I didn't even get to that, but you go to the 1 month chart, it's up 40.98%, actually.
That's a monster. What did they do?
All the ladies are drinking it now. LaCroix, whatever this stuff is.
Have you seen it?
Oh.
Because they got it at the grocery store right here down
okay.
the road, and they got the one up there. And
what were we asking them, listeners, about the other night? Had they ever Amway?
Amway, right.
Okay, here's one for you. Shasta. You ever heard of Shasta?
Absolutely. Shasta.
Most of the workers in my office don't know what the heck Shasta is. They know what LaCroix is. Shasta, that's like Royal Crown back in the day.
Yeah, okay. It's like Fanta.
Well, they make Shasta, too.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't have guessed that.
See?
If you already got Shasta,
crazy.
Why do you make a new one? Why do you make
$2.50
a new brand?
$2.50 a share.
Well, do you know...
Short time ago.
Look, you drink LaCroix? Have you bought it? Because we have...
I've not tasted it. Nothing.
In the old Parker household, we know what they're all about. It's a discount beverage like Shasta, but they've gone crazy with the flavors. You ever had a coconut soda?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that's LaCroix. LaCroix will do that. And they have one that's like grapefruit hyphen peach. So they go with...
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tasty little beverage, but it's just a discount, and they've got weird flavors, and should have bought that stock a month ago. Your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Be a part of our women-only Gregory Ricks Live event April 19th, and go join the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. I'm James Parker. See ya. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.